Roto-Grinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Bringing you up-to-the-minute industry news.
Time for me to tell you about the biggest tournament in the history of daily fantasy sports.
Interviews from the biggest names in the industry.
The one and only Kondia. Head Chopper joins us now to talk about this weekend in daily fantasy football. Now on the podcast, Napster Man.
And game analysis to save you time and help you build your bankroll.
Both the salary and the matchup are just too good. If you are not playing him in your head-to-head game, you are just going to lose.
Here is your host, the one and only, Dan Bach.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome, Roto Grinders, Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast here on this Thursday, November the 20th. Happy to be with you. Glad you're giving us a little time out of your day. It's busy. You got a lot of options in terms of, loudmouths like myself that you can listen to. So happy that I am the loudmouth you chose today. I'm going to give some final thoughts on the whole DraftKings situation, then be done with it for good, but not going to delve too far into that. Everything that's kind of happened has been played out. We've got like a, multi-page thread in the forums. You can go over everything, people's opinions on it there. I'll give my final thoughts here in just a moment, but for the most part, I want to be done with it after today, and hopefully we'll never talk about it ever again, which I think ultimately is the most important thing to hopefully come out of this. But we got a few other things to touch up on. We're going to bring you an interview today. Killa B, he was on with us in Night Sweats a couple weeks ago, and I was really happy with that interview. I thought there was a lot of good stuff to be taken from that. So he is ranked number 2 in the NFL. And he's a high-volume player, right behind Kondia. Probably not right behind Kondia, because Kondia is just sick. But second behind Kondia in terms of pure volume. And we'll talk a little bit about his history as a player, where he came from, what he's planning to do moving forward, as he's kind of only been an NFL player. But get a perspective from a guy who definitely looks at this from an investment standpoint. A lot of us play this game as a hobby, and you know what? The majority of us play this game as a hobby, and that is absolutely great. That's what's going to keep this game afloat, but you're always going to also have people who do this for a living, and he's somebody who strictly kind of looks at the numbers at the end of the week. He's not one who necessarily sits on the edge of his seat sweating games like you and I do, but it's always interesting to get everybody's different perspective and how they play daily fantasy sports. So from somebody who has turned this into a pretty lucrative business for himself, happy to kind of get his thoughts. So we'll get we'll talk to Killa B here in just a little bit. But also we want to thank FanDuel, great sponsor of the show. If you haven't gone over to FanDuel.com, what are you waiting for? Now that, obviously you're a part of the Roto Grinders community because you listening to the show, you'd have to be pretty much. They've actually stepped up and been doing some pretty cool things because week 13, they're going to have an FFFC Super Qualifier where they're going to be giving away, I believe it's 20 seats to the FFFC. And obviously, this is a huge tournament, $2.07 million in this Super Qualifier. Obviously, they're going to be giving away tickets and then giving away some cash as well in this, and obviously if you win, you go to Vegas, you have a shot at $2 million first place prize, big deal. But they've got a Roto Grinders FFFC Super Q free roll this weekend. That's right, absolutely free. They're going to be giving away 3 seats to the Super Q, and then 16 seats to the next week's Sunday Millionaire, and basically, you don't have to pay anything. It's absolutely free. The link is in the forums in a pinned post, and definitely take part of that. Just build your team, throw a team in there. We know you're playing on FanDuel already, and why not? So we always appreciate them kind of giving back to our community a lot, so thank you, FanDuel, for that. And do join that free roll coming up this weekend. And also, be on the lookout, I think, in the next week or so to have some FFFC packages. Now, these are obviously trip-only packages. You don't get to play for the $2 million. But who is going to say no to a free trip to Vegas and kind of get some of the experiences that the finalists do? I think that's pretty freaking awesome for FanDuel to be putting forth and doing that. I know that's something that they promised early on in the season. right around the Grinders party time, and good to see them follow up on their word on that. So we'll obviously let you know when they decide exactly what kind of format of tournament they're going to run for that. But as far as I know, it's just going to be, you know, an open season for you guys to possibly win a free seat. Not a free seat, a free trip out there for the FFFC festivities. I will be going out there, so definitely stop by and say hi to me. And should be a tremendous weekend out there in Vegas to crown somebody the first multi-millionaire, multi-million-dollar winner in daily fantasy. We've had quite a few millionaires now, but now we're going up to $2 million there this week on this year on FanDuel for their FFFC. So that is taking place the second weekend, I believe, in December. So there you go. All right, well, let's get to it. Few final thoughts here on the DraftKings situation. Obviously, a little, I guess, maybe has changed, but honestly, I think the biggest problem through this whole thing is if there's one thing to be learned, it's you need to be crystal clear with what you're telling people. The communication between DraftKings and the players from Sunday to Monday to Tuesday was miserable, and I don't think that they could deny that. They were not very clear at all in terms of what the final resolution was going to be, and I don't know, I don't believe that was intentional. Some people might, they're the only ones who really know. Honestly, what I think happened is they wrote some terribly worded emails that obviously people, you know, took differently, interpreted differently than the people who drew them up did. That's my feeling on it. Again, I don't know for a fact. They might have written the email in a certain fashion and then changed their mind, but I hope to think that that was not the case. So that was the biggest problem here is, did they, you know, you almost got to wonder, did somebody read over these things? Like, if their plan was all along to net out winnings, which honestly, come the end of the day, is a fine resolution. I have no problem with it. Basically, it was a situation where if you played on their site and you lost, you got reimbursed, you won, you got to keep your winnings. Great. So in theory, if you had an issue, you should have basically not been able to take a loss for that weekend. And I know that there's a few other issues or intricacies about that in terms of when people complained and this and that. And everybody's issues, everybody's situation is different. So I can say two things here. Ultimately, I'm fine with that end resolution, but that should have been crystal clear from the very beginning that that's what they were going to do. And that didn't happen. And that was probably the largest mistake throughout this entire thing, obviously besides the site going down, was just the fact that there was no clarity. Clearly, there was confusion from everybody out there. I mean, the moment that people were assuming one thing, and believe me, they were assuming in public forums like RotoGrinders and Twitter, DraftKings needed to step out front of it and say, no, I'm sorry, that's not what we meant to write, sorry it wasn't clear, this is exactly, let me spell it out, you know, a little bit clearer for you. And that never really happened. And that was a tad bit disappointing. And then moving forward, I mean, here's the bottom line. If you're upset about it, people have every right in the world to be, then you basically just, you know, speak with your daily fantasy play. I mean, if you think DraftKings did you wrong and you want to stop playing there, you're in your right to do so. Honestly, I've heard this time and time again about a myriad of different issues and situations that come up in daily fantasy, and the number of people actually adhere to their "I'm never going to play over there again" is usually pretty minimal. Yeah, maybe they'll not play there for a week, 2 weeks, yeah, you know, maybe even a month. But eventually, they come back, and you know what? I think that DraftKings deserves a second chance, and they, for me, they do. I mean, to each their own in their opinions. If you don't feel like, you know, you can trust them, that you think that they did you wrong, that's up to you. That's your interpretation. Do what you want. But my personal interpretation is I'm all about giving people second chances. And, you know, obviously you make a mistake, you learn from your mistake. That's the one thing I tell everybody I've ever worked with and worked for is that, you know, I'm okay with people making mistakes. You know, I have no problem with that. It's, do you learn from those mistakes? Because if you make the same mistake twice, then you know what? You clearly are not learning and you obviously don't care. And I don't believe that this kind of falls into that category. This is a situation DraftKings has never dealt with. And they dealt with it very poorly. And I'm not saying the final outcome they dealt with it poorly, but the way that they were trying to get their message across to everybody did not, it was not clear at all. And that was the failing of this whole situation. So, with that said, like I said, you know, it's up to each their own how they want to deal with it. And, you know, they're obviously going to be hurt from it in the long term. I don't know how much it's going to hurt them, to be honest with you. People get over it. People move on. People realize, okay, you know, all in all, I had that one bad weekend over there, but it's a pretty damn good daily fantasy experience anyway. And, oh, yeah, you know, they've got great tournaments. Oh, there might be some overlay. People come back. They do. More times than not. So, for me, I'm going to give them another shot. I obviously was not happy about what took place this weekend. And but you know what? Again, we all make errors. Let's learn from our errors and become better next time around. And let's give them a chance to do that, in my estimation. If you don't feel that way, to each their own. Like I said, there's like 30 daily fantasy sites you can play on. Like nobody's forcing you to play on DraftKings anymore. Nobody is. If you've got money over there, you can take it out. If you feel like you should have won more money there this weekend than you did, well, that's, you know what? I'm sorry. And it's a bad situation, no doubt. But if you're that bitter about it and you feel like they did you wrong again, there's one simple solution to it. So that's where we're going to leave it. I'm done commenting. I don't want to really have any more conversations about this because that means if I do, then we had a similar situation happen again. And let's face it, that's not good for anybody, not good for the industry, not good for DraftKings. So let's just hope that everything moving forward certainly is above board. I think they have been to this point in time, but I think that the key is just to, you know, hopefully keep the issues from happening, and God forbid if something does happen again, let's just be on top of it. Let's just be clear with what is going to happen rather than having mixed signals to people. And honestly, you know, people will say, well, it's not their job to monitor Twitter and RotoGrinders forums. Absolutely it is. I mean, those are two giant forums for daily fantasy players, and more, you know, a good chunk of players are sitting over there reading and commenting. You have to be monitoring them, and you have to make sure that the message that you're giving across to those people is clear. It's not hard to do, and I think that's the one thing that they need to do better next time. Hopefully there is no next time. So there we go. We're done. Okay, moving on. Let's bring on our interview here today with Killa B. He is somebody who is one of the best in daily fantasy football. He is, you know, just missed out, I think, on an Atlanta seat. He might have, I don't know if he's got one already, but I know he just had a chance, finished second a couple of weeks ago. Bottom line, one of the best in the biz. So let's bring him on. Brett Hartfield, the Killa B here on the RotoGrinders Daily Fantasy Fix. All right, excited to bring on our next guest to the podcast. We had him on Night Sweats a couple of weeks ago, but, you know, it was such an engaging interview. And I know this podcast might get a few more viewers and listeners than that show. I wanted to bring him on because I thought there was some compelling daily fantasy conversation. So let's bring him back. The man known as Killa B, Brett Hartfield, and somebody who is currently one of the top-ranked players on RotoGrinders. Looking at our rankings, I think NFL-wise, he is certainly in the top five, plays incredible volume. And he joins us here on the RotoGrinders Daily Fantasy Fix. Brett, welcome, my man. Thanks for giving us some more time here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Now, I want to hit up on your story a good bit here because a lot of people might not be familiar with you if they're new to the industry. How long have you been a daily fantasy player? And I know your roots kind of go back to the poker world. So kind of talk to us a little bit about, you know, your history in terms of getting into this game and kind of, you know, the success that you've had in it.
Sure. So, yeah, I mean, I just to rewind all the way back, I started playing poker in about 2004, graduated from UW-Madison in 2005 after I took a job for about 3 months, quit the job, did poker full-time since 2006. And picked up Daily Fantasy actually on one of my prop sites. It was called RakebackNation.com. So RakeBackNation.com, they would have different rakeback sites, different prop sites for poker. And then all of a sudden there was this site called Instant Fantasy Sports in 2008. I'm like, what is this? So I click on it, see that it's basically a stock market of players, you know, salary cap format, exactly what we see today. The only difference was the juice was really high. But as a prop player, I got 100% rakeback, so I didn't have to worry about juice. So every league, I basically just sat down on everything, and I would get about, you know, 1,000 to 1,500 action a week on the site. It was the only site, I believe, in 2008. And then that site turned into Snapdraft, which is now defunct. But yeah, I mean, that's like the origination of Daily Fantasy Sports.
So you've been in on the ground level. I didn't realize you were that, you know, that long of a player. So when did you jump on FanDuel? I mean, that's a site that's still obviously in existence today, one of the industry leaders. But that wasn't always the case. Did you get in on the ground floor over there?
Yeah, and I don't even know what the ground floor would have been for FanDuel. But yeah, I remember hopping over there using the RotoGrinders links in about maybe 2010-ish, 2011 maybe. So, and you know, I've always played this more as fun and entertainment until 2013 rolled by. Then it was becoming, wow, you know, look at all the money you can make in this, you know. So I started taking it way more seriously in 2013. But yeah, from 2008 to 2012, fantasy football is a passion of mine. I play in a couple of high stakes poker leagues, so it's like one of those things where I'm gonna put in the time researching season long, and obviously there's so much luck in season long, so much more variance, you know. Like, you know, if you had the fourth or fifth overall pick this year, it wasn't a bad pick to take Adrian Peterson. You just got unlucky, you know. So it's obviously something that's very skillful. I use a lot of my poker skills that really made me successful in poker to be successful in daily. So,
well, you know, play at a really ridiculous volume here by most people's standards, and I think people would look at the amount of games you post all across the industry. I mean, you play multiple sites and wonder how the hell you do it. Now, I know the answer to it, but explain to everybody how you're able to kind of manage so many lineups, play so many sites at the volume that you do, because that's a tall task for anybody, let alone somebody who is also, you know, trying to make a living playing poker on the side.
Yeah, so it's definitely a team effort. We call ourselves basically Team Killer B2482. So we, you know, I'm the money behind it, but I employ my brother, Kurt. You can catch him at Curtis Hartfield on Twitter. And then I employ Luke, who's at Giant Ball of Oil. He does writing for RotoGrinders. Awesome fantasy grout pieces on there. So, but yeah, those two guys, they're kind of like my henchmen. They work behind the scenes. Luke manages FanDuel. Kurt manages Draft Day. And then I manage the rest of the site. So I manage DraftKings. I manage Fantasy Feud and Fantasy Aces. So when I say manage, it basically is, you know, Tuesday morning comes in, they run their numbers for their specific site. Then what we call is opening up the store. So Luke to FanDuel, Kurt gets on to Draft Day. They open up all the leagues. So obviously if the store is not open, people can't get in action with us. So the main thing is get those leagues open ASAP. Get in dummy lineups, you know, doesn't matter. And then it's just lineup formation after that. So it's actually a pretty simple process. I mean, now it's like we've done it for 2 years, so we're a pretty well-oiled machine by now.
Well, how much diversity do you have in the cash games that you post? Are you a single lineup guy per site? How many lineups are you running, at least in cash? I know tournaments is a different animal, but, you know, is it all on, you know, that one team? And obviously, if that's the case, it's probably a little bit easier. Or do you run multiples on the bigger sites?
Yeah, to break that down, let's just look at FanDuel and DraftKings. So FanDuel with the lineup lock on Thursdays, we roll out one cash and one GPP, and we put so now just to clarify, cash game is if the league is paying out 33% of its players or more. So that means in three-mans, heads-ups, 50-50s, those heads-up matrixes, those are all of our optimal cash game lineup. And then when it comes to GPP lineups, it's anything, any league that pays out less than 33% of its players. So that means 10-man, 20-man. Obviously, there's different styles of GPPs. I mean, you get those big ones where, you know, top 15% or top 20% are paid out. So we're looking for, obviously, a high, you know, higher variance type of lineup there. But yeah, roll out one optimal GPP lineup, one optimal cash game lineup for Thursday, and then the exact same thing for Sunday. And then we have what we'd call one-offs on Sundays. So the whole team works on one-offs. So that means we put together basically every single quarterback we, you know, in our one-offs, and we just try and hopefully the stars align on one of the one-offs and wins us a bunch of money. So, but yeah, we do that exact same thing over on DraftKings too. Optimal cash, optimal GPP, and then we have just, you know, we rolled out, I want to say 30 to 35 GPP lineups over there.
Just to give a perspective about how much money would you say you put in play each Sunday for NFL?
Yeah, it definitely varies based upon our bankroll coming in. This week it looks like we put in 150K. So here, I'll open up the FanDuel app, give you an exact number here. So 72.6 on FanDuel.
Well, you've got to be one of these guys who definitely tracks your success on the app instead of the actual desktop site, because the app gives you the nice round number in terms of how much money you spent and how much money you've been winning. But I'm guessing as a whole, you guys probably track your results pretty darn close in terms of to see where you're most profitable and everything else. Which site would you say you guys turn the greatest ROI?
Well, the most consistent ROI is over on Fantasy Aces. I don't know if I've had a losing week yet on Fantasy Aces. So, I mean, obviously I'm running really good over there. But, yeah, I don't think I've had a losing week over there. So Trent and those guys have been really good with their site. I've seen a lot of improvements. It looks like Fantasy Aces is easily the third largest site out there. So I've been really happy with them. DraftKings and FanDuel with – DraftKings' refusal to, you know, make proper pricing over there, it doesn't give the sharp players a lot of edge, which is smart for DraftKings in a way because it keeps the money in circulating, which is what they want. But, you know, the cream will still rise to the top no matter what. You know, GPPs are still a lot of edge to be had. It's just unfortunate that their big GPP, I mean, is just so much money to first place. You know, it's just like, as much as it is great that, you know, this is promoting their site, promoting Daily Fantasy Sports, it's just taking so much money out of the prize pool each week. You know, it's like, there's good and bad with it. And I'm hoping this isn't going to go all year, because it's just like one of those things where you're dealing with so many bad player pricings over on DraftKings, and it's just like their product is definitely affected. Whereas FanDuel, I'm super happy with their pricing. You know, the player edge of, you know, the weaker players over on FanDuel is nice. And then I guess when it comes to FanDuel, like, there's not as big of a positional advantage, you know, with the kicker, no flex. But you get those other positional advantages on the other sites, which is nice.
Obviously, a guy you've got to encounter a ton is going to be Condia, because he, alongside yourself, is, you know, the players plays the most action on a single week. How often do you get matched up with him? I mean, a site like FanDuel doesn't have matchup blockers. Do you institute that matchup blocker against him, say on DraftKings, where you can, you know, pinpoint certain players you don't want to play? And kind of talk about your weekly relationship with the machine known as Condi. And I say that in jest. He's obviously a real human, but just the fact that, man, he is a top-notch player every single week.
Yeah. So just to give you an idea, let's just say that I invested $150,000 this week. I would assume over $100K is with Condi. So
wow.
That means I would assume that 50K of heads up in three-man action is not him, but every five-man, six-man, 10-man, 20-man, 50-50, every GPP, he's in that league with me. So when I look at when lineup lock happens, I instantly pull up his lineup. I know his lineup. I root against his players. I root for my players. If I beat his lineup, there's no doubt it's going to be a profitable week. It's just how profitable. If I lose to his lineup, like, there's a good chance that I lose overall for the week, so that sucks. But he runs out multiple. He doesn't have the same strategy as I do. So he runs out multiple cash game lineups, unlike me. And it looks like he doesn't spend a lot of time in GPP. So he only runs out one lineup in every GPP. That's why you don't see him at the top of any of the leaderboards when it comes to tournaments or anything like that.
On DraftKings, do you block him?
I believe I do. Yeah. So okay, when it comes to college football, my two biggest opponents are Empire Maker and CSU Ram, right? So on Saturdays, I put their IDs in the matchup blocker, but on Sundays, I'm so busy that a lot of times I forget to put Condi in there. So a lot of times I don't block him. And that's just because I'm doing so many different things over here. I have a to-do list where I try and set alarms, and when the alarm goes off, I go, oh yeah, I got to do this. Or, oh yeah, I got to text, so-and-so about this. So, I would say I'm pretty good at blocking him over there, but not every week he's blocked. So,
Take me a little bit through your history as a poker player, and why do you think that so many guys have made this transition so successfully? Because, you look at, Matt Smith, I believe, won the $1 million on DraftKings. He's been a very successful player. Brian Hastings, I think, might even have a sweat for an Atlanta seat this week. He's had a great year. We've seen a lot of guys come over from poker and have success. Why is that?
Yeah, Hastings is phenomenal. Like, I don't know how big he is into sports, but it seems like he knows his sports really well. But here's a guy that I just met yesterday. His name, Dirty Girl. So Jay Rayner. Yep. Just met him yesterday in Nashville. The guy doesn't know anything about sports, which is, how awesome is that? Like, he's never watched a full football game. He doesn't like to watch football. He normally has 50K in action, he said, a week, but he doesn't watch the games. He doesn't do any of the sweating. Like, that's phenomenal to me. He just a smart kid. Like, he's really good with numbers. Very similar to me when it comes to that. He comes from the poker side of things. His roommate was Mike Timex McDonald, so obviously one of the best tournament players you're gonna find out there. I was never a tournament player. I was always a cash game player. The highs and lows of the tournament grind in poker is just not my lifestyle. Also, I like to set my own hours. Whereas in tournaments, they tell you when to seat, when you're playing, when to eat. It's just, again, it's basically you're working for the man again. So cash games, like I'll go out to Vegas. In the summertime, the last few times, I actually only went out there for 2 weeks. So just for the main event, played in some high stakes action. It was awesome. Like, I feel like when I'm out there for 2 months, the first month is usually good, totally focused with poker. And then the second month, I just want to get out of Vegas. So I really like being out there.
Is that where you're getting most of your cash game poker play? Is it trips out to Vegas? I know here in Florida, there's poker's really prevalent. From an online standpoint, there's only a few states you can play it in. Is it a situation where you really work for just a few weeks at a time and hit it hard, and then go back to focusing on daily fantasy? How does that work?
Well, here, Dan, I don't know if you really know the landscape of poker too well with the online. There's only a few states that really it's illegal to play in. I mean, I can play in, I'm from Wisconsin. I can play basically any site that I want in Wisconsin. There's ways around it. It's not illegal, anything that I'm doing. So it's basically I play mostly on Bovada. It's a really good site. I mean, I get a lot of 10-20 action there. So, I know people that, you know, play on European sites, you know, so it's not anything that we're doing illegal. Obviously, no site can be American site. You know, there's laws against that. When I go play cash games, live cash, Florida is actually one of my main spots. I go down to Miami. I got most of my poker friends living in Miami, Fort Lauderdale area. So go to. I personally like to go out there anytime Hard Rock's running tournaments. And then there's also called the. They want to say it's the Gulf Coast or the Gulf Coast Casino. There's a private game that's run there that I'm trying to get in a little bit more. PLO game. But it's tough to get into private games. So, like, there's also a private game in Dallas that one of my buddies is playing at. He's been trying to get me into that game. So once you become, you know, once you have enough years in it and you've you treat people with respect, especially the people with the money, especially the people that are, helping the poker economy, If you treat them well, then you're accepted back into the game. So,
well, you have to make a roadie down to Best Bet here in Jacksonville. It's actually a pretty nice poker room. They redid the whole thing. So if you ever come down here, let me know. We'll hook up.
They've run a WPT, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think they just had one about a week or two ago. Like not very long at all. So. Right. Let's turn back to daily fantasy here for a second. You know, a lot of people are always trying to kind of find an edge in the game. And, you know, we don't expect you to give away all your secrets. But, you know, obviously having people come into the industry and not get wiped out off the bat, it's kind of helps you in the end game here in terms of these people moving up stakes and continuing to, you know, put money on sites. If you needed to give, you know, just some early advice for new players, what would it be?
The one thing, basically the one really thing that makes me better than the average player is just bankroll management. And I understand that coming from the poker side of things, and that's what really gives a leg up to all the poker players. They understand the ups and downs of poker. Just because, you know, we've really had a great last 4 weeks here. We've won every single week. I think we've beat Kandia every single week. So the last month has been really good for Team Killaby. But, you know, as good as that is, it's just like you know that tomorrow's a different day. This week it looks like we're going to, you know, profit again. But it's just like one of those things where you can't get too high with your highs. You can't get too low with your lows. I don't really sweat my games at all. What I will do, like today, I'll be going through my DraftKings and doing late swaps. I'll try and, you know, pick out any edge that I can get. But when it comes to sweating games, both my employees, Kurt and Luke, they're right there screaming for every single play, and that's just not me. Like, I mean, I've played enough like high stakes games where, you know, the next flip of the card is going to make me 100K wealthier or 100K, less wealth, you know. But it's just like one of those things where it's like there's nothing else I can do. I got my money in good. Hopefully it works out. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But, you know, it's not going to change who I am. It's not going to change, you know, my life. So.
Well, let's talk about your transition into college football a little bit, because I've seen you posting a lot of games, high-dollar games. Probably not the volume for NFL yet, but let's face it, you know, it doesn't have the volume of players or opponents yet. But talk about moving into that side of the game this year and your feelings about daily fantasy college football.
Yeah, so, I guess when it comes to college football, it's awesome, right? I mean, it's basically the NFL on steroids. So I guess in NFL, you're looking hopefully to get 100 yards and a touchdown out of your running backs, wide receivers. In college football, you're looking for at least 150 and two out of your, you know, running backs, wide receivers. So it's a totally different game. 32 NFL teams, 125 D1 and football teams. Obviously, a lot of those 125 D1 teams aren't going to be in your slate of research, but you'd be surprised when you do like the earlies, the all days, and the lates on the sites, which teams, you know, end up coming into your research. So, yeah, I mean, it's four times larger. It's probably like, I don't know, maybe 50% more stats that you need out of your guys. So a lot more research is done. But you'd be surprised. You know, when I look at Empire Maker, when I look at CSU Ram, my two biggest opponents, we have a lot. So there's so many more players to research, but you'd be surprised, like, when you put in the time, like, how often, like, our lineups look very similar.
Last thing, and you kind of disclosed this the other night on the Night Sweats show, but rumors of you doing NBA come January. Fact?
I'm sorry. I'm getting bad connection here, so I think I misheard what you said.
Oh, I said, is it a fact that come January you're going to be turning your attention to the NBA? Did you get that?
Yes, yes. Yep, I got that now. Just getting really bad Wi-Fi in the room. But, yeah, come 2015, we're going to pick up NBA, NHL, college basketball, and then Major League Baseball. So,
so you're going all
we'll
in.
We'll be running with six different sports. we're diversifying ourselves. So it's one of those things where NFL is just 17 contests. You know, we're looking at – possibly investing, I don't know like the exact number, but around 2.5 on the NFL, whereas Major League Baseball, 200 contests, if we can do 50,000 a day, that's 10 million. So if we can do 100K a day in NBA, that's 10 million. So you can see these other sports are three to four times larger than NFL because of how many contests. It's a daily game, you know. It's not a weekly game. So, yeah, I mean, college football, it's interesting. I love all the slates. So I'm sure I'm going to love college basketball because I'm a big fan of, like, the University of Wisconsin Badgers for football and for basketball. So, yeah, I know I'm going to love it. So NHL is the only sport I really don't.
Well, I mean, is that going to take up a bunch of your time, though? I mean, from poker, is this kind of, like, taking over in terms of – you're going to be spending more time on daily fantasy than ever, you know, trying to be able to manage all these different games, lineups.
I don't like to be involved in the day-to-day operations. So if I can train somebody to do what I know how to do and then they can do it just as good, that's good enough for me. So they're going to make mistakes. They're going to make mistakes. And I know that, but it's just like learn from your mistakes and let's not make them again.
Well, it sure sounds to me like you're just making daily fantasy sports, you know, you're not just a player. I mean, obviously it's a business for you, but especially when it's only been seasonal up to this point, it's a little bit different than when 365. So I congratulate you for taking the plunge in it. I hope it works out well for you, except, of course, when you play Team DB 730, you know, leave some money for me on the table.
Right.
Good luck the rest of this NFL season, and we'll talk to you again down the road, my man.
All right, Dan. Have a good one.
Okay, let me tell you about my good friends over there at FanDuel. Of course, we got some Thursday night football going this evening at FanDuel, so that's always exciting, good stuff. And that includes some big tournaments. You got the bomb sitting at $175,000. That sucker is going to fill probably way, way early, so you'll probably be having a couple of NFL bombs for Thursday. But you're talking about giant double-up fields. Come Sunday, you're going to have huge tournaments. Obviously, the Sunday Million Tournament I believe it's what, 2.75 or 2.5, sorry, $2.5 million Sunday million, and that's what, 300,000 going to first place. That did pretty well last week in that. And also you got these FFFC qualifiers. Believe me, the free trips are going to be great, but it's so much more enjoyable when you're in the conversation for $2 million. So take your shot at some of these FFFCQs. You've got a lot of them. You got $2. You got two $2 tournaments. You got a $5 tournament. You got a $1,065 FFFCQ. So $200. A lot of different buying price points for this qualifier. Running out of time to get into it. And, of course, the Super Q coming up fairly soon as well. That's going to be a big, big tournament where they're going to award 20 seats to the FFFC. So, great stuff happening on their site. Of course, college football tonight. The Hail Mary is this weekend. And they've got not one, not two, but three 100-seat ticket qualifiers out there on FanDuel. That's right. Three of them. So, and that's for the Thursday night games here tonight. So, definitely jump in those. Why not? Get yourself some shots at that huge tournament coming up this weekend. $200K is the total prize pool for that college football tournament. Biggest college football tournament of the year. So, going to be have to try and get some more seats, I guess. That's what we'll just have to do. Why not? So definitely check them out. They're great friends of ours here on the podcast. They are. FanDuel.com. And with that, we're going to be done for today. Thanks again to Killa B for jumping onto the show. Thank you for tuning in. We'll obviously be back to the podcast same time, same place tomorrow. In the meantime, do check us out on Twitter at RotoGrinders. You can find me at Dan underscore Bach. You spell that B-A-C-K. On iTunes, you can find this podcast, Stitcher app, TuneIn Radio app, all that good stuff. And you can be sure to catch this show live each day. Not even live, but recorded each day. Speaking of live, we've got only hockey today at 5:30. NBA's got a really small slate. So we're just doing hockey at 5:30. And then we've got our NFL show at 7, leading up till Thursday Night Football. And then me and Head Choppa at 8 o'clock, we will be talking college football for an hour as well. So three shows for you on this Thursday. Always appreciate you guys giving us your time. Talk to you again tomorrow. Till then, have a great Thursday night. We will see you.